Hebrews 11, and we'll look at the first two verses of Hebrews 11. The message today is entitled, Obtaining a Good Report by Faith. Obtaining a Good Report by Faith. The Lord had, I believe, encouraged my heart and kind of challenged my heart recently with the idea of faith and the need for us to walk by faith. And we'll explain a little bit what faith is. There's a lot of confusion in our world today about what faith is. And people will call themselves a person of faith, or they might even say to one another, in a time of discouragement, there is a need to keep the faith. But there's a lot of confusion about what that even means. That's a very ambiguous statement, and it can be an ambiguous word, the word faith. But we'll explain it, and hopefully we can all learn from this fact that there is a way that we can obtain a good report with God, but it will require faith. And I believe that as a church, we need to grow in our faith. I know I do as an individual. And I believe that you are with me in that our faith needs to grow. We live in a world and in a society, and just being a human being makes us this way, where we tend to want to only believe what we can see. But of course, really, if we only believe what we can see, then we won't believe very much. Because there are a lot of things that we take by faith, whether we realize it or not. We assume that they are true even though we cannot prove them nor see them. And certainly in the spiritual realm, that is the way that it is. And you and I need to understand what faith is and obtain a good report by faith. Let's start with Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, where the Bible says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And again, I want to focus on that phrase in verse number 2, that by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. And the title is, Obtaining a Good Report by Faith. With the Lord's help, then, this morning, I'll talk to you about the fact that it is important to understand what faith is. We'll also see that it is important to remember the seed that produces the fruit that we call faith. And then lastly, I want to encourage you with it's important to understand how to develop faith in your life. And hopefully the message will be a help and encouragement to you. But let's pray and ask God for His help. Heavenly Father, we come to You in faith, taking You at Your word that You do answer prayer and that You hear us when we call upon You. Lord, You've made that clear in Your word, and we take You at Your word. We also take You at Your word that You are here in our midst as You promised You would be when we're gathered together in Your name. Thank You for being here. Now, Lord, because of that, I yield this service to You and Your leadership, and I ask that You would guide me as I preach Your word to preach what You want preached, to say what You want said, and even to act in the way that You would want me to act. And then, Lord, I pray that You would give all of us ears to hear. We know that Satan and his forces, his followers, his minions would not want us to hear Your word and not want us to obey Your word. And so, Lord, I pray that You would rebuke him and any distractions that he would give or doubt that he would try to put into our heart, that, Lord, all of that would be dismissed and that, Lord, You would allow us to, by faith, take You at Your word and to walk in a victorious way in this life and obtain a good report by faith. Help me and help Your people. Use Your word and help me to stay true to it. Lord, if there's anyone within the sound of my voice this morning that has yet to believe on Jesus Christ, yet to understand who He is and what He did for them, and how He is the only way to have sins forgiven, Lord, would You grant them the faith to understand and believe the gospel this morning? And I pray that, Lord, You would allow that this day would be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Obtaining a good report by faith. As I mentioned to you, I want to start off with helping us to understand the importance of what faith is. There is a lot of ambiguity. There is a lot of confusion about what faith is. So it's important to understand what it is. And let me say that our text verse gives a little bit of an idea of what faith is. Let's look at verse number one. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What that verse means is this, that there are things that we hope for. The greatest example that we could probably think of as a Christian would be, we hope for heaven. Our dear brother, who was a member of our church for several years, Bob Benzing, recently passed on, and the Lord allowed that cancer would take his life. And of course, many people have that happen to them in any given year or week or day or whatever. That is a common occurrence in the world that we live in today. And Bob fell to that disease. But you and I have a comfort knowing that when he breathed his last here on earth, that he immediately entered into the presence of the Lord. The Bible tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, I've never seen heaven. I've heard of people who claim that they have, but I doubt them. I've never seen it, but I don't have to see it. I have an evidence that it exists. The evidence is faith. It is, as our text says, it's the substance of things hoped for. When I cannot see heaven, I can hold on to faith and hold on to my belief that what God has said is true. But it also says that not only is it the substance of things hoped for, it is the evidence of things not seen. Again, thinking of heaven or any other spiritual thing, I've never seen it, but I do have evidence that it exists, and the evidence that I have is faith. So that's a little bit of a definition of faith, although I hate to call it a definition of faith because it really isn't intended in that way in the Scripture to give us a solid definition of it, of what it is. It just tells us that some of the things that faith is and what it helps us with. The reason I say that is this. Faith is not the substance of things that I hope for because I made them up in my mind. You understand what I'm saying there? The reason that I hesitate to say that this is the defining verse that tells us exactly what faith is I don't think that's what God intended Hebrews 11:1 to do. Because I can hope for all kinds of things. I can hope, as I've referenced a couple of weeks ago, when I was a teenager, I could hope that I would be a star quarterback in the NFL. But that's not faith. That's imaginary thinking, okay? Again, I'm 5'10". I wouldn't make a good quarterback in the NFL, all right? For that and many other reasons. I can hope for all kinds of things, but just because I make something up in my mind and I hold on to that in my mind and I believe it with all my heart, that is not faith. Faith is, however, the substance of things hoped for that have been promised by God. That's the difference. That is what makes it faith. If God has promised it and I believe it, that is faith. And then when I hope for that thing that God has promised, faith becomes the substance of that. I haven't made it up in my mind. It's what God has promised. That is, again, what faith is. Let me show you from the Scripture someone else who talked about faith and the need to rest on what God has said. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. So if you're in Hebrews, if you'll turn to the right just a few pages, you'll find 1 Peter and then 2 Peter. And when you find 2 Peter, look at chapter 1, starting with verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. The Apostle Peter now is talking here, and he says in verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Now, Peter is talking about the fact that he was there when God allowed that Peter, James, and John would see the glory of God descend on Jesus. That was an event called the Transfiguration. Peter was there. And he says to the people to whom he's writing here, we're not following cunningly devised fables. This is not just some story, bedtime story that you tell to your kids. We were eyewitnesses. We saw it with our own eyes, Peter says. Verse 17. For he, speaking of Jesus, received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Not only did they see the glory, they heard a voice from heaven speaking about Jesus, God's voice that said, "This is my beloved Son." Verse 18, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." But notice how Peter changes the topic here in verse 19. He says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." A more sure word of prophecy. What is he saying? Peter is saying, "I was there in the mountain." The Mount of Transfiguration is what we call that now. "I saw God's glory descend on Jesus." And the Bible tells us that Jesus' clothing was changed. There was a brightness about him. And I can only imagine what that looked like. But Peter says, "I was there and I saw it." And so were James and John. Not only did we see it, we heard a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I saw it and I heard it. But I have something that I can hold on to that is more secure, more sure than even what my eyes see or my ears hear. That's a strong statement, isn't it? Notice what he says as we read on. Verse 19, "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." That verse tells us how we got the Scriptures, the Bible as we call it today. But what Peter is saying here is, though I saw those things, though I heard that voice, I have something I can trust in that is more reliable than what my eyes see and my ears hear, and that is the prophecy of the Word of God, what God's Word says. I can trust that. Friends, that's what faith is. And I want to encourage you that today, if you are looking for something to trust in, you can trust the Bible. Now, Satan fights the Bible tooth and nail. Satan hates the Bible. He doesn't hate religion. Satan loves religion. Satan is a very religious being. But he loves any religion that will not focus on and point people to God's Word. And by the way, there are many of them. Some of them even will call themselves Christian. But if they are not pointing people to God's Word, they are false religion. And they are based on something that is man's imagination, not on the sure word of prophecy, and they are not about faith. But any time that a preacher or religious leader will point you to God's Word, the Bible, and rightfully and truthfully give the Word of God and say, "You can trust it and you need to rely on this," then he is pointing you to faith. And that's what faith is. It is understanding what God has said and then believing what God has said. And when you believe what God has said, you have a substance of something that you hope for. You have evidence of things you have not seen, but there's evidence there, and that is the faith that you have in God's Word. And I want to encourage you with this fact, that though we have not seen heaven, though we've never touched any part of heaven, yet we can have confidence in heaven because God's Word has said that it is real. And that's enough for me. And by the way, that is what our church here is based on. Not about what the guy behind the pulpit makes up in his mind and declares to the people. It's this book, God's Word, that we are resting in. And that is something that gives us hope and a confidence. So we have that faith. Now, why is faith important? Why is faith important? Go back to Hebrews 11. So we're still talking about what faith is. But before we move on to the second point, I want to share with you why faith is important. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." The reason that faith is important, and I hope that you'll catch this, is because you cannot please God without it. I'm looking out on a crowd of people that I think are probably very good people. Everybody in this auditorium, you clean up well. All right, you look nice. Friendly faces. I don't see a scowl in the bunch. All right, nice people. I know most of you fairly well. But listen, the fact of the matter is, though you are good people, and I wouldn't mind if, you know, we were neighbors and all of that kind of stuff, I'm sure you'd make a great neighbor. But here's the interesting thing. You can be a good neighbor, a good husband, wife, father, mother, grandson, whatever it is. You can be a good person, but that won't please God. That's not what pleases God. Now, you and I think that it is. By nature, what we think is if I want to make God happy, I have to do things or not do other things. I have to check off a list of things. But that's not what pleases God. No, don't get me wrong. God wants us to live right, and we should. But what pleases God is faith, believing God. And you see, you can be a very moral person and check all the right boxes, pay your taxes and vote and help your neighbor and, you know, walk old ladies across the street and all that good kind of stuff that good people do. But if you fail to believe God, then you have not pleased Him. And when you stand before Him, you'll be on the opposite side of Him and contrary to Him. That's why faith is important. But let me give you another reason. Because God does everything He does with His people through faith. God never does anything with His people that doesn't require faith on their part. Again, it makes sense because it is what pleases Him. And I would encourage you, if you know the Bible story at all, you know the narrative, just think back in your mind from the beginning. Abraham is a good place to start, but there were people even before Abraham where everything they did, God required them to walk by faith. And anytime He did something with His people, it required them to believe Him. Hebrews 11 is a good place to read through that. We just don't have the time. But let's look at one example, verse number 7. We're in Hebrews 11. Look at verse 7. Here's an example. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So if you know the narrative of Noah, God was going to bring a flood upon the whole earth. By the way, He did. And there is evidence throughout the entire world that there was once water that covered the earth. And God tells us in the book of Genesis that that's what happened. And when Noah was warned of God, he had never seen a flood like that. As it says in verse 7, he was warned of God of things not seen as yet. The Bible even gives us the indication that apparently at that time, rain was not an occurrence that happened. The way the earth was watered and the way that plants grew was there was constant dew around the earth. We believe that perhaps there was a canopy around the earth of water that allowed it to be a little bit like a greenhouse that allowed the plants to grow. I don't know exactly for sure that that's the way that it was, but he had never seen rain like this where the heavens were open and it rained solid for days on end. But he believed God. And God required of Noah, God didn't prove to Noah that this was going to happen. He warned him. Noah, you need to build an ark to the saving of your house. And Noah had to take God at his word. And we could go person after person, individual after individual, story after story. Everything God does with his people requires faith. Another example, we won't turn there for time's sake. You might write this down and look it up later. Exodus 16, verses 1 through 4. Do you remember as God was leading his people through the wilderness, he fed them with manna from heaven. And God says that he was going to send manna. Why? Could God have fed them some other way? Oh, yeah. But God gave them manna from heaven to prove them whether or not they would walk in his law. That's significant because this, God led them with manna because here's what they had to do day after day, moment by moment, they had to trust that what God said was true. Every day they took enough manna for one day. They were not to take enough for 7 days. Not even for 2 days, not even a day and a half, for 1 day, except for the day right before the Sabbath, the day where they take it for 2 days. And they had to do that. Why? Because God wanted to show them, listen, trust me. You don't understand it. It doesn't make sense, but just trust me. I have a plan. I'm proving you. And you know what God does with you and me as Christians? Day after day, he says, obey me today. I'm not going to tell you necessarily what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day, this week, next year, but just today, you take me at my word and believe me. Everything God does, he requires us to walk by faith. It is important that we understand what faith is because it's what pleases God and it's how God works with his people. Let's move on to the next important thing to remember. Number one, to understand what faith is. Number two, it is important to remember the seed that produces this fruit called faith. Our garden is doing very well this year. Anybody here other than the Weisses have a garden? I know Mrs. Caro does, a few of you, Mrs. Grossen, and the Zimmermans have a garden, probably others as well. Okay, one of the things that is a great year for gardening, at least for most plants, because of all the water, right, and a decent amount of heat that we've had, and we've got some plants that are growing like crazy. One of the things that happened earlier in the year as my wife went to the store, it's one of her favorite things to do, is to go to Menards or wherever, and she says, I want to look at the seeds that they have. And we go to where they, you know, have the seeds for different plants. And this year she had a certain theme for the garden that she wanted to go with, of certain types of plants that when they hopefully get ripe together, we can combine them together and make this beautiful concoction called salsa. Right? It'll be a very gringo salsa, though, all right? But it's going to taste good nonetheless. And listen, we had to get the right seeds, didn't we? We wanted that. We had to get some tomatoes, and we got those, and we got some jalapenos as well, and we got some other things. I think there were some cilantro seeds that we got and things like that, and my wife knows, and she did it all. There were some onions that she got and all different kinds of seeds, but she didn't get any apple tree seeds for our salsa. She didn't get any. Now, one of my favorite flower, by the way, is a zinnia. She didn't get any of those seeds for our salsa because she wanted the right plants to grow, so she bought the right seeds. If you and I want faith and we recognize that it's important and it's what pleases God, there is a seed that God has given us that produces the fruit called faith. And I'll just jump to the next point, which is this: that seed is the Word of God. As I mentioned, this book right here is what does it. If you and I want to have faith, we need the seed of the Word of God. It's important to understand that. If you would look at Hebrews 11 and verse 7 again, we already looked at it once, but Noah is a great example. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Notice, it is by faith, but what he had was he was warned of God. Again, Noah did not make up the idea of a flood and needing an ark. God told him something that he had never seen, and he took God at his word. That's the same for you and me. If we are going to have faith, we must have the seed of the Word of God. Again, I can tell you that I believe I am Superman. Now, my wife thinks I'm Superman. My children bought me a shirt that says Super Dad, which is pretty close to Superman. But if I climb up to the top of this building, and the tallest part of it is over here because the ground slopes off a little bit here on this north side of the building here, and if I stood at the peak of the roof and said, I believe I'm Superman, and jumped off, you'd be taking me to the hospital pretty quick. But wait a minute, I have faith. I believe it. Okay, I'm going to try it again after my legs heal. And I climb back up there 6 months later, and I say, this time I'm really going to believe. And I might even get some motivational recordings on a, you know, on some kind of a podcast or something, and listen to those for days on end, motivation about just believe in yourself. You can do anything you want, right?
all those kind of things, and I imagine it, and I believe on it, and I hold on, and I jump off the peak of the roof, and I say, this time I really believe, it's faith. And you'd be taking me to the hospital again. Because faith requires not something I imagine to be true, it requires the seed of the Word of God. It has to be something that God has promised. And this religion, quote unquote, that we are in, this Christianity that we have, this belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is not made up of cunningly devised fables that you and I just made up because there was a guy named Jesus of Nazareth who had some followers, and you know, PBS would want us to believe, or the History Channel would want us to believe, that his disciples just after his death made up the fact that he had risen from the dead and that he had said he was God. That's a lie. They didn't make it up. He is God, and how do I know? The Word of God says it. It's as clear as can be. And again, I realize it does take faith to take God at His Word. It takes faith to believe it because I've never seen Jesus in a physical form. I didn't watch Him rise from the dead. I didn't see Him ascend into heaven. But I do have God's Word on it, and I do believe this book, and I'm standing on that. It is the evidence of things hoped for. It is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. I have God's Word. And if I want to have faith, I have to understand where the seed comes from. It's God's Word. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Just a small verse, but a very important verse. And we'll be back here, so you're going to want to keep your place in Romans 10. If we turn anywhere else, keep a bookmark here so that you'll be back there. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. A very small but important verse that says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You must have the seed of the Word of God in order to produce faith. And it's important for you and me to remember that, which moves us now to the next important thing. So the first one was, it's important to understand what faith is. Secondly, it's important to remember the seed that produces the fruit called faith. Thirdly, it's important to understand how to develop faith. Because if you are here as a member of our church, then we have taken you at your word that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've given a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. In order to be a member, we require that. So I'm taking you at your word that you really do believe God's word, that Jesus of Nazareth really is the Son of God who came from heaven, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, was buried for 3 days, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and me. He is our Savior. But now, wait a minute. We still need faith to live this Christian life. We don't stop with the faith that leads to salvation. We are being led from faith to faith. It's a continual growth in faith. And so it's important for you and me to understand, how do I develop faith? If I want more of it, how do I develop it? Well, the first thing I would say, and I'm just going to give you 2 points under this, and that first one is, break up your fallow ground. We're talking about the Word of God as a seed that produces faith, but for a seed to bring forth fruit, the fallow ground has to be broken up. Using the illustration of a garden again, if you're like the Weiss family and you planted a garden, ours is very, very small. But one of the things that my wife and children did, and it was back in May, I believe it was, probably early to mid-May, something like that, if I remember right, that she went out there with a hoe and she began to chop at the ground and break up the clods of dirt. Now, last year we had planted things, and our garden wasn't very successful last year. It was a little bit successful. This year it's a lot better. But listen, it wasn't enough that the ground had been broken up and seed had been planted last year, because what happened is, over the course of the fall into the winter, that ground became hard. And if my wife went out there with those seeds that she had carefully chosen from the store, and she had taken them and she wanted this row to be tomatoes and this row to be, you know, peppers and this row to be whatever, she could have taken those seeds and sprinkled them on the ground and all of that, and it may have grown a few plants. A few of those seeds maybe would take root, but very few. I don't know what the percentage would be, but it would be very few. One of the things that she had to do is she had to prepare, listen, prepare the ground for the seed. She had to take the hoe and break up the clods of ground, that hard fallow is the old English word, the fallow ground. She had to break it up and get it turned over so that the dirt was soft and able to receive seed. And then she could put the seed in there and cover the seed with dirt and water it, and plants would grow. If you and I are going to see faith in our life, we have to prepare the ground by breaking up the fallow ground of our hearts. You see, it's not enough to just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then automatically you're going to grow from faith to faith. The ground, after a while, gets hard, like your garden, because we live in a sin-cursed world, and we live in Western society, which today is modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. And so we are constantly bombarded with everything that is negative to faith and against faith and contrary to it, and the ground needs to be broken up. And you say, Pastor, how do you do that? Well, look at Romans chapter number 10 again. Remember I mentioned to you verse 17, but look at verse 18. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Notice verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Verse 20 says, but as Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Verse 21, but to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I point that verse out to you because I want you to realize faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What that does not mean is I can just simply put on a Bible app that will read the word of God to me, and magically by osmosis, faith is going to come into my heart because I have the word of God being read to me. It's also not enough for me to just get up every morning, open up my Bible, and read a few passages of the scripture because pastor said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Therefore, now I have faith because I read God's word. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But what does verse 18 say? Have they not heard? And the obvious answer is yes. He's speaking about the nation of Israel. Did they receive it as a whole? No. They heard, but faith did not bring anything good in their life. Why? Because the ground was fallow. It's like my wife going out there, not breaking up the ground in May, but sprinkling a bunch of seeds and hoping for a good harvest. That would be foolish. And for you and me to just think that magically by coming to church, magically by reading the Word of God every day, magically by listening to the Bible on a Bible app, that suddenly now faith is going to come because after all, the Word of God brings faith. Yes, but you need to prepare the ground. It is important to remember that the seed of the Word of God must have good soil. We don't have time to look at Luke chapter number 8, but maybe you might write that passage down. Luke 8 verses 11 through 15 is the parable of the sower and the seed. And Jesus gave the explanation of that in verses 8 through 15, or I'm sorry, 11 through 15, where he describes the fact that when the seed falls on bad ground, it doesn't produce fruit. It must fall on good ground. So now turn to Jeremiah, Old Testament passage, Jeremiah, and let's see now how can we break up this fallow ground? How can we prepare the soil of our heart to receive the seed of the Word of God? Jeremiah chapter number 4 tells us. Jeremiah was a prophet to God's people in the Old Testament times, obviously, when God was trying to get his people to receive his word and obey him, and they weren't doing it, and they didn't, and eventually they went into captivity, and Jeremiah was alive at that time. But in the meantime, he ministered just as God told him to, and in Jeremiah 4, here's what God leads him to say to God's people. He says in verse 1, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth and judgment and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not, in other words, don't plant seeds, among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. There are two illustrations given in those four verses of what the people of Judah were to do to bring themselves to a place of repentance. One of them was circumcision. The other was breaking up fallow ground. Without going into detail, circumcision requires the cutting away of something and tossing it away, getting rid of it. Breaking up the fallow ground is like we talked about. It's taking a hoe or a plow to a piece of ground and breaking up the clods of soil and having it be ready for the seed. But notice what it says earlier in verse number 1. If thou wilt return, then he says, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight. There again, even in the breaking up the fallow ground, it is likened to, or it is said that the way to do that is to get rid of the abominations. So if you and I want to develop faith in our life, the very first thing we need to do is get rid of all the things in our life that we know don't please God. Christian, if you want to develop faith, now that you are saved, born again, on your way to heaven, if you want to develop faith, if you want to grow in faith and become more of what God wants you to be, and like our message title says, obtain a good report by faith, there's something you need to do, and that is get rid of the abominations in your life. The things that you know God doesn't want you to do, the things that you know you should be doing or shouldn't be doing, you need to obey God in all things. Because you can sow the seed of faith all day long. But when the abominations are there, when the things that you know God is not pleased with and you're still doing them or still allowing them or still watching them or listening to them or we go on and on with them, then the seed of the Word of God is going to fall on hard ground and it will not take root. And you can listen to it all day long and read the Bible all day long. But if you're not obedient, if I'm not obedient, then it won't produce fruit. Break up the fallow ground. Get rid of the abominations. And then secondly, talking about how to develop faith, sow the proper seed. You already know what that proper seed is. We've gone over it a couple of times. But it's the Word of God. Once you've gotten rid of the abominations, once you're obeying Christ, once you're doing exactly what He wants you to do, then sow the Word of God. Then listen to the preaching. Then listen to the Word of God being read. Then meditate on it and read it daily and morning and evening and midday and all the rest. Get the Word of God into your heart and stay away from, the negative part of that is, don't sow the seed of conventional wisdom or your own understanding. I have to be reminded of this often, and I imagine you do as well. We live in a society where you can get conventional wisdom in so many places. There are podcasts, there are videos, there's news and commentary, and there's every person out there with an opinion, whether they really should have an opinion or not. They're out there. And it is bombarding us daily. But if you want to grow in faith, listen, this is important. If you want to grow in faith, don't sow that seed. Get rid of it. It's not that we bury our heads in the sand and don't know what's going on. But listen, find out what's going on and then get to the seed of the Word of God. Bury your head in God's book. Read it. Meditate on it. Memorize it. Study it, listen to it, learn it, let it soak into your heart, and here's what will happen. You'll grow from faith to faith, but you've got to sow the right seed. As we close this morning, we've talked a little bit about who Jesus is, and I would be remiss if I did not share with you the greatest lesson of faith that you can possibly learn, and that is this. That you and I, all of us as human beings, we are sinners and we have rebelled against God. And I may not know you, or maybe I do know you well. But even if I don't know you, I know this about you since you are a human being, that you have rebelled against God. You've gone your own way, you've not obeyed God, you've not done right, and by the way, neither have I. And because of that, in our natural state, left to ourselves, we are enemies of God. But here's what I want you to understand, too. This is the beautiful part of this story. God loves you. In spite of your sin, in spite of your rebellion, God loves you. And so because of that, he provided a way of escape from his judgment. His judgment is coming. And believe me, it is coming. We were reminded of that this weekend, weren't we? That for these things, the wrath of God cometh on the unrighteous. God will judge this world, and we don't know when it'll happen. The choir sang a song, it could happen in a moment. That's true about the rapture, Christians being taken to heaven, but it's also true about the judgment of God. It could happen in a moment. We don't know when it will happen. We just know that it will. Because God loved you, he provided a way of escape from his judgment. And he, by the way, he only provided one. That way of escape is Jesus Christ, his son. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life, and he died on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins. God punished him for your sin and mine. He became the sacrifice for our sin. And now, he rose from the grave, he ascended into heaven, he's there at the right hand of the Father, and the Bible tells us that all who put their trust in him have remission of sins. That simply means their sins are forgiven, washed away, cleansed. All who believe on him have remission of sins. And so this morning, the greatest faith you can have to begin this walk of faith that we're talking about and obtain a good report by faith is to have faith in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your hope of salvation. And just like, again, I can believe all day long that a 747 at the airport over here can fly me from here to Dallas. Until I get in the plane does me no good. I have to believe on it by walking up the steps, getting into the plane, sitting in a seat, buckling up, etc. And it's the same way with Jesus Christ. Having faith in him is not believing that he exists. It's putting your trust in him. It's resting on him as your hope of salvation. I did that many years ago. And I know if I were to die today, I'd go straight to heaven. Why? Because my sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ. I don't deserve it, but God gave it to me. He'll give it to you too if you believe on Jesus Christ. In a moment, we'll have a time of invitation. If you have questions about that, you're curious about that, you want to know more about how your sins can be forgiven, some will come to the altar and pray here, and that's fine. If you want to come forward and meet me down here at the front, I'll have someone take you aside privately and show you from the Bible how you can have your sins forgiven. I will not embarrass you, I promise that. But I would encourage you to get that taken care of today. And if you're already saved, your sins are forgiven, then I want to encourage you to break up the fallow ground, sow the right seed, and grow in faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to learn from your word this morning. I pray that you would help us to understand these truths that are found in your word and understand them wholly and completely. Take away any confusion, any ambiguity, and Lord, give us understanding, wisdom to understand your word. Now, Lord, would you move in this invitation time, especially if there's someone in our midst that has yet to believe on you and receive that forgiveness of sins? Would you please grant them faith and repentance to believe you today? In Jesus' name, amen.